Antcoffs America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We would like to greet our new affiliate, WMQM AM 1600. That's a 50,000-watt station in Memphis, Tennessee, that is going to be bringing Mark Antcoffs America and the Republic Broadcasting Network to a much wider conventional radio audience in the American South in the days ahead. We are joined today by Tex Mars. I trust that everyone who listens to this network probably knows the name Tex Mars. He is an incredible writer, an incredible publisher, and an incredible expert in biblical prophecy and the occult from a biblical perspective. Tex Mars joins me today to discuss, interestingly enough, not one of his great books, but a new book that is out that Rivercrest Publishing in Austin, Texas has come forth with, entitled The Synagogue of Satan, written by Andrew Carrington Hitchcock. And this volume basically takes John chapter 8, verses 42 through 48, and also Revelation chapter 2, verse 9, and Revelation chapter 3, verse 9, where in the warnings that are issued to the churches of Smyrna and Philadelphia, among those who are a part of the churches of Asia Minor that are talked about in St. John's Apocalypse, there is specific reference made there to bewaring of those who say they are Jews and are not, but are of the synagogue of Satan. What is the Bible talking about there? What can we then apply in terms of a lesson of history in regard to the biblical warning? And should we see in those verses a grid through which we can interpret all of history? That, I think, is the thesis of this book, The Synagogue of Satan, written by Andrew Carrington Hitchcock. And we greet Tex Mars today to discuss some of the content of this book. How are you, Tex?
Hey, Mark. I'm doing great, and I'm glad to be with you today.
Yes, you know, I have followed your career for a very, very long time. And you know what's interesting? You may not remember this, but many years ago, you were originally signed up to do a tour to the Holy Land that was being sponsored by a magazine in Seattle, Washington. And due to a series of events, you had to drop that particular assignment. Then the same magazine in Seattle came to me and asked me to lead the people on the tour, which is kind of an interesting thing. And here we are talking all these years later directly to you for the very first time. But I wanted to say on the air that I hope this is not the only time I'm going to have you on, because you've written a series of books that I would like to read and discuss each one on the air, not only for the benefit of the listeners, but also for my own personal benefit. I have a great deal of respect for you. And in regard to this new book written by Andrew Carrington Hitchcock, The Synagogue of Satan, what do you think, Tex, is the book's thesis, and what are the implications of that thesis for the way that Christians should understand history?
Well, you know, the thesis of the book, and I've talked to Mr. Hitchcock, we're the publisher, you know, for the book, because obviously, for fear of a very influential and powerful Jewish interest, no publisher in America would dare to publish such a book. But, you know, like you said, Mark, guys like you and I, we just do what the Lord tells us to and tell the truth. And you know, I believe there's a great amount of protection in God, and so I just depend on that shield of faith. But basically, the interesting thing is, I asked Mr. Hitchcock why he chose this title, at the Synagogue of Satan. And of course it is, as you mentioned, it is in the Bible, it is in the book of Revelation. And he said, well, the more I thought about it, I thought, well, you know, that's what God called this group. Why should I choose a different name? It's like, you know, telling God he has a bad choice of words.
Yes. And when we come back, we will take up that theme with Tex as it relates to both Revelation 2 and Revelation 3, verse 9 in each case, as well as why that biblical language is there. And if it's inspired by the Holy Spirit of God, as we believe that it is, what does it mean? We'll be back with Tex Mars and to discuss The Synagogue of Satan by Andrew Hitchcock. Stay tuned.
Have you heard of a privacy crisis? Odds are you're already immersed in one. The U.S. government is now legally tapping phones, monitoring emails, tracking purchases, and seizing property in record numbers. Banks are demanding invasive personal information for even the smallest transaction. Unfortunately, stalkers looking to harm you or your financial situation are using the same methods. So how can you protect yourself, your loved ones, and all that you own? Well, the first step is to purchase the most important how-to book you'll ever read. It's called Privacy Crisis by author Grant Hall. In minutes, you'll know the methods he himself has used and advised others about in order to bank anonymously, open a safety deposit box without a social security number. With Privacy Crisis, you'll discover how to avoid judgments, seal your credit files airtight, drop off the radar, and virtually disappear from those looking to cause you injury. The ebook and hardcover versions are available at www.privacycrisis.com. Grant Hall's Privacy Crisis contains information and legal methods the powers that be don't want you to know. Travel, bank, work, and live anonymously. Live free. You can also order Privacy Crisis by telephone. Call 702-433-6222.
We've all considered solar power at one time or another, and self-sufficiency will be your key to a better future. Ken Solar can help you get off the grid and become self-sufficient with solar power, and for a lot less than you would think. One of Ken's most popular items right now is the new solar power generator, for a lot less than you'd expect. This portable system can chop off nearly a third of your electric bill, a good start for any families out there wanting to get solar power for your home. Visit Ken's website at kensolar.com for free downloads, free videos, and how-tos, and of course, the new solar power generator. Use the coupon code RBN with your purchase and save an additional 10% off your order. Get a solar power generator now from kensolar.com at 239-677-3073. Again, that's 239-677-3073 or on the web at kensolar.com. Ken Solar, the home of all your solar needs.
Catholic priest calls for Christians to resist unjust war. It is an established historical fact that the Vatican has publicly stated that the Iraqi war is an unjust war. However, it miserably failed to tell its Catholic soldiers that it is a mortal sin to attack Iraq. The Protestant ministers in unison should take the logical step of telling their soldiers that it is a serious offense against God to participate in this unjust war. However, if enough Protestant ministers do not take this logical step, then the lay Catholics and Protestants have a serious obligation to demand of their clergy to take this logical step publicly. Personally, I am doing all that I can to stop the continuation of the murder, carnage, and suffering that is being committed against the innocent people of Iraq in this terrible, unjust war. For additional facts regarding this grave matter, order the lecture by Father John Martinez entitled WW3 Can Still Be Prevented. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on our web banner for more information and ordering.
Across America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. The legendary Tex Mars is with us today to discuss Andrew Carrington Hitchcock's new book, The Synagogue of Satan, The Secret History of Jewish World Domination. This is put out by Rivercrest Publishing of Austin, Texas, the same publisher that Tex Mars is involved with. And Tex, we were just starting to unpack a little bit of the content of the book when we went away to the first commercial break. You were mentioning that Andrew clearly chose this title because it's a scriptural title. What do you think the implications of this are?
Well, it has to be an implications for all of history, and especially for the last days of history, because we have it in the book of Revelation. And it's a very powerful mention there. It's mentioned twice. Not just mentioned, it's emphasized by God. You know, chapter 1 of Revelation is basically an introduction. It tells about, the apostle John there and on the island of Patmos where he was banished, and he had this vision from God. And then chapter 2 immediately begins with letters to churches, to last days churches. That could be our day. And in these letters, both in Revelation 2 and Revelation 3, God says that the horrible group that we are to watch out for, a group that will kill Christians, cast many into prison, and bring upon the whole world an hour of temptation, is the synagogue of Satan. And here's the key, I believe, Mark, and the theme of this book. Of course, as Christians, we don't believe that Hinduism and Buddhism and Jainism and Islam and other religions are true. It doesn't mean that we don't love the people who are involved in those religions, but we believe that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Now, and it means also that we go into the marketplace of ideas, you might say, and attempt peacefully and lovingly to convince and persuade these people of the truth of Jesus Christ. We don't go out killing them, because you can't send somebody to heaven by killing them. You send them to hell. And this is why I oppose things like the Iraq War or any idea that we should be in some incredible military crusade against Muslims simply because they're of a different religion. Now, it's interesting, though. Jesus Christ, the spirit of prophecy, that's what he's called in the book of Revelation, he doesn't finger the Islamic mosque, the mosque of Satan. He doesn't warn us of the Buddhist temple of Satan, or even the church of Satan. He says the synagogue of Satan, and talks about the Jews. So this tells us right away what we are to watch out for in the last days. Now, the whole evangelical church, it seems, has their eyes on the wrong thing. They're fighting a battle against a foe that's really not the main foe. So we need to say, what does God want us to know in the last days? Throughout history, in fact, what is the main opposition? The opposition, the group that is determined to kill Christians, to blaspheme God, to cast Christians and others into prison, and to conquer the whole world, and that will, unfortunately, their destiny is that they will bring about this hour of temptation in which, you know, there will be an incredible catastrophe on this planet. And it is the synagogue of Satan. So here again, do we hate Jews because God warns us of the synagogue of Satan? No, once again, but we are aware of the those in the Jewish race, religion, nation that are evil, just as we should have been aware in Nazi Germany, not of all Germans. We're not out to kill. We weren't out to kill all Germans. But
that's good, because I'd be dead by now, Tex.
There you go. See, there you go. So here again, you know, we need to ferret out the evildoers, but this is the meaning of Hitchcock's book, The Synagogue of Satan, for which I've been very honored to write the foreword. It's subtitled The Secret History of Jewish World Domination. It is secret because you will not see it published anywhere else. You can't go to a bookstore and say, I'd like a book about the synagogue of Satan. Well, now you can with this book, but before you really couldn't. You know, the only book that was anywhere even on this subject was the Protocols of the Learned Elders of Zion, a book that's been banned in about 84 countries, which has been called a forgery and a hoax, and boy, everybody goes out and people are in prison now simply because they possessed the Protocols of Zion. But this is a different book. This is a book that has 320 pages of history, and it is documented, and it's basically the synagogue of Satan, and get this, Mark, in its own words and deeds. In its own words and deeds. And I think that the book begins about 800 or so A.D., but really, it begins in a powerful way in 1744 when Meyer Amschel Bauer, who changed his name to Rothschild, was born over in Europe. And thus began the Rothschild dynasty. He adopted the red two-triangle hexagram as his shield, and that's what that means. Rothschild means red shield, by the way. And it was the Rothschilds who used their money and influence to make sure this same symbol or logo is on the flag of Israel. And it's a very evil occultic symbol. The hexagram has always been known in witchcraft. And in the book, The Synagogue of Satan, Hitchcock does a very good job of explaining exactly the meaning of this symbol of the Synagogue of Satan, and a powerful symbol it is.
Yes, and he points out on pages 30 and 31 of his book that this this red hexagram text that you make reference to, which under Rothschild instruction will end up on the Israeli flag two centuries later, is geometrically and numerically easily translatable, legitimately translatable into the number 666. That's pretty shocking stuff.
Yes, because there are many configurations that you could use. Of course, it has six triangles. It has 6 points. It has 6 lines. And it is 2 triangles, 1 point's up, 1 point's down. And you'll remember that Satan himself in Isaiah 14:12, he boasted and bragged that he would defeat God and that he would reconcile heaven, earth, and hell and bring things together as one under his authority. So here really is the meaning of the six-pointed star with one triangle pointed down and one up. And, of course, there are many other occult meanings in Freemasonry and such. You find this symbol, by the way, the Jewish so-called Star of David. And it's not the Star of David at all, because in the book of Acts, Paul said that those who worshiped this star worshiped the same God as the Egyptians worshiped. He said that even the children of Israel, when they defied God, you know, when Moses went up to get the Ten Commandments, they began to have orgies and do terrible things. And he says they worshiped the star of the Egyptian god who was called Remphan, also known as Kiun. So this hexagram star has been around a long time, and I always have great agony in my heart when I see Christians being convinced by Judaizers in the church to wear this symbol around their necks. It's a symbol of the devil, and they're wearing it thinking that they're doing good.
Well, yes, and it seems to me, Tex, that when I was reading this book, I got behind because of last week when I was doing all these things as a Lutheran pastor related to Easter week. But I read two-thirds of Andrew's book last night so that I would have some method of preparation for our conversation today. And I could not help, as I was going through the first 180 pages of the book, to think about the line on the modern Zionist state of Israel that is taken by John Hagee of Cornerstone Church right here in San Antonio and his so-called Christians United for Israel organization. And, of course, Jerry Falwell, Pat Robertson, and many of the very familiar personalities that mainstream Christian evangelicals will be familiar with through such groups as the National Religious Broadcasters. Now, Andrew Carrington Hitchcock comes to the fore with this book. And Tex Mars, one of the most respected people in the Christian prophetic publishing industry, is coming forth to say that we need to take another look at this entire situation. Are we, in fact, dealing, Tex, in your judgment, with all of the information that Andrew gives us in this book, The Synagogue of Satan, with a circumstance that is inextricably connected to end times deception, and that many of these well-meaning people, presumably well-meaning people on the Christian right, who have been promoting the Zionist line, lock, stock, and barrel, have unwittingly or wittingly been drawn into that deception?
Mark, I believe that's exactly correct. You mentioned you're a Lutheran in the
yes.
Lutheran the church. I've studied the history, and I know you have, of Martin Luther, and he came to the same conclusion. And I think it was a very terrible thing because he wanted so much to love and embrace Jews and Jewish leaders, but he discovered this, and he wrote about these same kind of things, didn't he?
Yes, he did. We'll be back. to discuss this further with the legendary Tex Mars, Andrew Carrington Hitchcock's book, The Synagogue of Satan. Stay tuned.
I found this company online, and they had this really unique variety of salt wellness products. I read some of the articles and ended up ordering this beautiful salt lamp. According to the company, they said that the salt crystal lamps gently purify indoor air. I was so amazed. I put it in the baby's room, and it made a perfect nightlight. Both my husband and I could tell the difference.
SoleWellness.com is a unique company that offers salt wellness products from around the world.
So, I went back to the site and ordered their Soleil Simple Natural Cleaning Products, also made with Himalayan salt. I figured it would clean really well. The natural cleaning products worked wonderfully, and there was no scent. This company has so many products my whole family can enjoy and feel better with. Plus, the service was great.
If you're interested in natural, homeopathic, time-tested remedies, visit SoleilWellness.com. That's S-O-L-A-Y Wellness.com. Or call 312-224-2710. 312-224-2710.
Have you heard of a privacy crisis? Odds are you're already immersed in one. The U.S. government is now legally tapping phones, monitoring emails, tracking purchases, and seizing property in record numbers. Banks are demanding invasive personal information for even the smallest transaction. Unfortunately, stalkers looking to harm you or your financial situation are using the same methods. So how can you protect yourself, your loved ones, and all that you own? Well, the first step is to purchase the most important how-to book you'll ever read. It's called Privacy Crisis by author Grant Hall. In minutes, you'll know the methods he himself has used and advised others about in order to bank anonymously, open a safety deposit box without a social security number. With Privacy Crisis, you'll discover how to avoid judgments, seal your credit files airtight, drop off the radar, and virtually disappear from those looking to cause you injury. The ebook and hardcover versions are available at www.privacycrisis.com. Grant Hall's Privacy Crisis contains information and legal methods the powers that be don't want you to know. Travel, bank, work, and live anonymously, live free. You can also order Privacy Crisis by telephone. Call 702-433-6222.
We've all considered solar power at one time or another, and self-sufficiency will be your key to a better future. Ken Solar can help you get off the grid and become self-sufficient with solar power, and for a lot less than you would think. One of Ken's most popular items right now is the new solar power generator, for a lot less than you'd expect. This portable system can chop off nearly a third of your electric bill, a good start for any families out there wanting to get solar power for your home. Visit Ken's website at kensolar.com for free downloads, free videos, and how-tos, and of course, the new solar power generator. Use the coupon code RBN with your purchase and save an additional 10% off your order. Get a solar power generator now from kensolar.com at 239-677-3073. Again, that's 239-677-3073 or on the web at kensolar.com. Ken Solar, the home of all your solar needs.
Mark Anton America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We're joined by best-selling author Tex Mars today discussing Andrew Carrington Hitchcock's new book, The Synagogue of Satan, The Secret History of Jewish World Domination. And that book is well worth your time. You can find it at Rivercrest Publishing, which comes to us from Austin, Texas. And I'll ongoingly, of course, be posting information on this book on some of the websites that I write for. And when we archive this show at the Republic Broadcasting Network Archive, we will not only have links to all of Tex Mars appropriate URLs, but we will publish a link to Rivercrest Publishing and how you can get a hold of this book, The Synagogue of Satan by Andrew Carrington Hitchcock. Tex, we were talking about all kinds of things before the last commercial break, including Martin Luther's perceptions on this. I would suspect that although Calvin's language may not have been as colorful as Luther's, that Calvin probably would have had some of the same perceptions on this subject. But it seems that we had a turn in Christian theology, at least in the first third of the 19th century, with the advent of certainly the whole issue of what happened with the Plymouth Brethren movement of John Nelson Darby in 1830 and the way in which a so-called dispensationalist theology entered into the United States after the American Civil War, largely through Darby and his agents of influence, that began to shape a movement today that we know of as Christian Zionism, which presumably is where John Hagee of Cornerstone Church here in San Antonio is coming from, presumably Falwell and Robertson and others. To what extent do you think there are certain theological points that have come to characterize Christian Zionism, and to what extent do you think those key points are at odds with a more biblical understanding of Scripture?
Well, Mark, I believe that if we look at Christian Zionism, and that's what is the basis of much of the evangelical world. You know, you mentioned Hagee, and he is, of course, a real Zionist fanatic, but he's joined by James Dobson and Benny Hinn and Paul Crouch and, you know, the whole group of the typical characters, Jerry Falwell, Pat Robertson, and so forth, in this Zionist movement. And you really spoke well when you mentioned that historically this is not the church. So if we go to the Bible, we don't find Zionism in the Christian church. If we go through the first 1900 years after Jesus Christ, was resurrected, we don't find Zionism. We find exactly the opposite. So where did all this come from? Well, you know, money can do incredible things. And so when we really look at the history of Zionism, we see a poisonous doctrine that was injected into Christianity through some very, very wicked men, particularly at the end of the 19th, the beginning of the 20th century. Scofield, of course, as you know, Cyrus Scofield, and the Scofield Bible came up. Scofield was, of course, a corrupt, crooked lawyer who abandoned his wife and children. He was wanted on various criminal charges back in the Midwest, and he fled to New York City. And suddenly, here this crooked lawyer, who, by the way, really had no training even as a lawyer, suddenly became a member of a very fancy men's club that was run by some powerful Zionist Jews, Samuel Untermeyer being one of them, called the Lotus Club in New York City. And through the help of these other corrupt men, suddenly he became a Bible scholar. Now imagine, you know, maybe some crooked lawyer working for Enron, and he flees, you know, Texas, goes up to New York, and suddenly he's accepted by everybody as a Bible scholar. Maybe there's hope for the Enron people after all. I don't know.
Maybe there's hope for my career, but go ahead.
Yeah. So it's an amazing thing about Scofield. But even Oxford University, the most prestigious university in the world at the time, invited him through their Oxford Press to do a commentary on a Bible. And suddenly, this Bible was just distributed everywhere. So isn't it an amazing thing? A guy with no academic credentials becomes the editor of the most famous Bible in the world. And remember, these are his commentaries, and of course, what are they? But Zionism. And it's totally against what the Bible actually says. But people began to read the footnotes and the commentaries of Scofield and believe in them. One of the ways they do this, you know, when the New American Standard Bible came out, I believe it was in the 70s or 80s, the Lockman Foundation, which is a very rich group, which published the Bible, wanted it to take off and make them a lot of money. One of the ways they did this was to hire a guy named Chuck Swindoll, a preacher, an unknown preacher from California, who had a pretty good voice and a pretty nice way about him, and they paid the guy over $1 million to be their spokesman and to promote the New American Standard Bible. And they made Swindoll a star by getting him radio shows across America. Pretty soon, everybody was buying the New American Standard Bible. And this is the way the Jews were able to influence Christianity through the Scofield Bible, which is full of Zionist poisonous doctrines.
And behind that Scofield reference Bible and Oxford University's publishing house, house stands the Rothschilds. We'll be back with Tex Mars and his discussion of Andrew Carrington Hitchcock's book, The Synagogue of Satan. Stay tuned.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Catholic priest calls for Christians to resist unjust war. It is an established historical fact that the Vatican has publicly stated that the Iraqi war is an unjust war. However, it miserably failed to tell its Catholic soldiers that it is a mortal sin to attack Iraq. The Protestant ministers in unison should take the logical step of telling their soldiers that it is a serious offense against God to participate in this unjust war. However, if enough Protestant ministers do not take this logical step, then the lay Catholics and Protestants have a serious obligation to demand of their clergy to take this logical step publicly. Personally, I am doing all that I can to stop the continuation of the murder, carnage, and suffering that is being committed against the innocent people of Iraq in this terrible, unjust war. For additional facts regarding this grave matter, order the lecture by Father John Martinez entitled WW3 Can Still Be Prevented. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on our web banner for more information and ordering.
The Idaho Observer is one of the last independent American presses and isn't afraid to print the truth. The Idaho Observer is a monthly 24-page hard copy newspaper in its fifth year of addressing important issues affecting all freedom-loving Americans. If you are concerned about the burgeoning national debt and the Orwellian police state growing up around you, then subscribe to the Idaho Observer. Only $25 for 12 monthly issues. Idaho Observer readers receive vital insight into events as they unfold. Our articles editorially emphasize activism and serve as a networking tool for like-minded individuals determined to make a difference. The Idaho Observer, printing what you need to be fully informed on issues that matter to real Americans. Go to idaho-observer.com or call 208-255-2307. That's 208-255-2307.
Gold, ever climbing, as the dollar continues to spiral into a free fall. How long before it hits rock bottom? Between 1800 and 1913, the value of the dollar was more or less constant. Since the creation of the Federal Reserve in 1913, the value of the dollar has depreciated 97%. Due to global inflationary policies and the continued erosion of the U.S. dollar, gold and silver are still in the early stages of the greatest bull market the world has ever seen. Whether you purchase precious metals to stabilize your portfolio or you're looking for strong growth, gold and silver will provide you with both. Don't you owe it to yourself to do business with Republic Trading Group? Call us today and become a part of the raging bull in gold and silver. 1-800-691-7898. That's 1-800-691-7898. Call now. 1-800-691-7898.
Mark Ankoff's America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We are joined today by Christian author Tex Mars, who is discussing Andrew Carrington Hitchcock's new book, The Synagogue of Satan, The Secret History of Jewish World Domination. That publication is available through Rivercrest Publishing of Austin, Texas. And looking through Tex Mars' foreword for this book, there are a series of biblical references that come to mind. Revelation 2, verse 9. Revelation 3, verse 9, Matthew chapter 23, verses 32 through 38. There is a brief discussion by Tex of Galatians 3, verses 28 and 29, and so forth and so on. And as you look at these verses and examine them in the light of a proper biblical interpretation, up to and including John chapter 8, verse 42 through John chapter 8, verse 48, it becomes clear that something is way wrong with the sort of spin on Scripture that it seems to me that we are getting from John Hagee of Cornerstone Church in San Antonio, Jerry Falwell, Pat Robertson, Paul Tripp, Paul Crouch and some of the other people whose names have been mentioned briefly in conversation up to this point with Tex. Tex, dealing then with this entire historical chronology that Andrew Carrington Hitchcock begins with, on page 23 he talks about the year 740 A.D. He says that in a land locked between the Black Sea and the Caspian Sea, known as Khazaria or Khazaria, depending on how it's pronounced, a land which today is predominantly occupied by Georgia, but also reaches into Russia, Poland, Lithuania, Hungary, and Romania, the modern Jewish race is born in 740 A.D. in a land locked between the Black Sea and the Caspian Sea, known as Khazaria or Khazaria, and that this modern Jewish race is, quoting Andrew Carrington Hitchcock here, incidentally, not Jewish. What are the implications of this in terms of the way that we should see the Ashkenazic Jew and the Ashkenazic Jews who were the primary foundational basis for the founding of the modern state of Israel?
Well, Mark, there are tremendous implications. Of course, we should not pay all of our attention to race. Because
yes.
this is really a spiritual battle. These are evil men whose hearts are black. But on the other hand, since they themselves have declared that they are the super race, and through the Jewish Talmud, their own holy book, they say that they're superior to all other men, that other men are like cattle or like animals. That they believe that the Arab race, for example, are nothing but insects, inferior to them. In fact, they believe that God respects the Jewish race so much that he even goes to the rabbis for religious advice.
So
God consults with them, you know, to find out, you know, what's the truth about religion even. So it's really a crazy a doctrine of Jewish leadership. And this, of course, is why they do the things they do against the Lebanese and the Palestinians, because they believe they're a superior race. And of course, this is evil, and it is really evil because now we have DNA. Ah, everything changes. You can't just go up and say, I'm a Jew, or, you know, on St. Patrick's Day, everybody in America is Irish, right?
Yes.
you know, everybody's Irish on St. Patrick's Day. You know, you wear your green thing. Well, this is what many Jews have done. We're Jewish. And because they knew this would give them a great advantage in commerce, it would, maybe give them even reparations because of what happened, they say, during the Holocaust and all this. So this has been a scam for a long time. But with DNA, everything is changing. And what we find is that most of the people who say they are Jews today are not. They are not Jews at all, but they come from this kingdom of Khazaria. And it's just like, you know, you can go back in genealogy and check your predecessors, your ancestors. I can check my ancestors. And now we have the ability through DNA and through history to go back and find out where the Jews came from. And we find that the ones who say they're Jews are not, but they were people who converted to Judaism. Of the kingdom of Khazaria, which now no longer exists, but those people migrated over into Russia and into Eastern and Western Europe. And so they became what they call Ashkenazi Jews, which are different than the true racial Jews who are called Sephardic. Most of the Jews, 80 to 90%, though, are these Khazarian Jews. Now, here's an interesting thing for your audience, Mark. Listen to this. You know, Abraham had not only Isaac, but he had, you know, he had other sons. And it's interesting that the Palestinians say they're the sons of Abraham too. Now, the editor of the number one daily newspaper among the Palestinian nation has challenged the editor of the number one daily Israeli newspaper to a DNA test. He says, I have more of Abraham's Israelite blood running in my veins as a Palestinian than you have.
As claiming
yourself to be a Jew. And he said, and I can prove it. Let's go down and take a DNA test. Well, guess what? The Jewish editor refuses because he's afraid. He's afraid that it will come out that he's from Merk, from Turkish Mongol strains. Now, you know, I'm not criticizing people. They can be Turkish or Mongol, or they can be French or German or Scottish. I don't care. But the point is, when you say your race is superior, and then you're not even of that race, first of all, it's a lie that any race necessarily is superior, because we have to look at the individuals within that race. But when they say they are and they're not even of that race, well, then we have a little problem here. Now, what do the Christians do about that? If they say the Jews should possess the land, but these people really are not Jews, then who should get it? Maybe we should give everybody, all the Arabs, everybody all over the world, a DNA test. Those that can prove they're the most Jews can get the land. Well, we're going to be in for some real shocks if we do. Now, by the way, Sammy Davis Jr., who nobody can deny was a black man, converted to Judaism. Marilyn Monroe converted to Judaism. Now, Marilyn Monroe and Sammy Davis Jr., would they, if they were alive today, and there are many like them, Madonna's into the Jewish Kabbalah, can she say, I should possess the land? I'm a superior race? I believe in the Jewish Kabbalah? You see, where does it all stop? It's a madness. It's a madness that has developed among the Christian world to elevate the Jewish race because of their blood. But now we have DNA, and everything is proven to be a lie. And you know, isn't it wonderful? We have the Apostle Paul, who called the study of genealogy foolishness.
Yes, absolutely. And it seems to me that when we look at Hitchcock's book, where he discusses this whole business of Khazaria in 740 A.D., a landlocked between the Black Sea and the Caspian Sea, and that the folks who were there and who converted to Judaism, for reasons that he then goes on to explain to us, are essentially people who then ended up in places like Russia, Poland, Lithuania, Hungary, and Romania, and that this modern Jewish Ashkenazic race is clearly not in the racial sense of the word Jewish. But then we get into something, Tex, that you mentioned in your foreword to this book that I think absolutely cinches the fact that spiritually, theologically, according to a proper spiritual understanding of the New Testament, this whole business is also biblically absurd. I want to read something that you wrote on page 15. Please keep in mind that God is no respecter of persons and that racial advantage has no part to play in God's heavenly Jerusalem. Indeed, contrary to the doctrines of devils spread by lying evangelicals, God does not distinguish between races in choosing a people for his name. Galatians 3, verses 28 and 29 is marvelous in dispelling satanic notions of racial superiority. God does not favor those who are Jew, quote-unquote, or those of any one race or ethnic heritage. Instead, the Bible invites men and women of every nation based on earth to come and drink of Jesus' living water, quote, and if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. You then go on to say that the Apostle Paul perfectly explains the spiritual applications of this life-giving principle when he states that according to the word of God, quote, they which are children of the flesh, these are not the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted for the seed, unquote, Romans chapter 9, verse 8. It seems to me on that text, as well as so many other things, I'm saying this because I believe it certainly to be the case, you're giving us the proper biblical exegesis here, not Hagee, not Falwell, not Robertson, not Paul Crouch, or any of the other folks, which back and forth to John Nelson Darby, Schofield, and a few other people. In essence, it seems to me that you're calling us back to a proper understanding, using the scriptures, of what the kingdom of God is really all about. It's not racial or geographic, is it?
Mark, that is so powerful. And, you know, it just moves my heart for you to even read those words from the Bible. They're in my book, but they're from the Bible originally. But think of what Paul said. The children of the flesh, these are not the children of God. But it's those who have the promise of God, that is Jesus Christ. That changes everything. You know, it's interesting. In the Bible, God talks about the natural Israel, the physical Israel, and the physical Babylon. Now, each one of them, you know, appears to be, you know, quite, you know, a different aspect. He has chosen Israel, but Babylon is a font of evil. But that's the natural. But then suddenly God, and I think he does it on purpose to confound those who will not believe in him, but will believe in the lie. And then he suddenly gives us a spiritual Israel and a spiritual Babylon. Now, Hagee and Falwell and all of the others today believe in this physical, natural Israel, but they do not believe in the spiritual Israel. But Jesus said, flesh cannot inherit the kingdom of God. You must be born again in spirit and in truth. And therefore, they totally lose sight of everything that Jesus had to say. Your flesh is going to go back to dust. But your spirit, if you have the promise of God, will live forever. And if you don't have that promise, you're going to go that other place. And you're going to live in a very bad set of circumstances in a place called hell. So this is something that is totally missing. So all they do is their mind is stuck on carnal, fleshly things. All Hagee can think about is land and money and empire. That's all these people can think about. There's none of the spirit. Their mind is on earthly Jerusalem. But Paul said that Abraham, the father of the seed, his mind was on heavenly Jerusalem. And Paul said, here on earth, we have no continuing city. We don't look to Jerusalem here on earth. We don't look to New York or Washington, D.C. We look to heavenly Jerusalem. So now we have the real battle today. It's not between anti-Semites and those who are Jew lovers. It's between those who believe that God is spirit and he will reward you with his spiritual kingdom, and those who want a fleshly, carnal, material earth, just as the communist atheist wanted. Marx believed in the same thing that Hagee and all the others did, which is, let's have a material kingdom right here on earth.
You know, Tex, you've just said something that to me is incredibly profound and incredibly powerful when you think about it. And there you have Karl Marx and the Communist Manifesto coming full circle to be a part of the ideology of some of the leading lights of the Christian right in America, who would be shocked, who would be angered, presumably, by a linkage of some of their theological and philosophical thinking to the presuppositions of Karl Marx.
Well, Karl Marx was Jewish. And
yes.
and he knew Jews, and he practiced actually a Kabbalistic form of Judaism. You know, his own maid who cleaned up the house for him, she said he had a little altar set up with black candles, and he would put a prophylactic band around his forehead, just like the Jewish rabbis do, and the Orthodox Hasidic Jews do. So he worshipped Satan, in effect, through the Kabbalah. But it's interesting that Marx said the Jews, their God is money. That's the God of the Jews. And this was a Jewish philosopher speaking, who was funded, by the way, according to Hitchcock in his book, The Synagogue of Satan, again by Rothschild monies. So we go back again to this circle of the Rothschilds, whom the devil has put in as a dynasty to fund this entire thing. You know, over in Israel today, they just have opened up a couple years ago their new Supreme Court building. The whole thing is built like satanic symbols. And the Egyptian obelisk are at the very center of it. And guess what? It was built mainly with Rothschild money. So
wow.
So we have an incredible connection here with Rothschild and the nation of Israel today. So, but Hagee and all these people, now think about this. What would Jesus do in terms of Iran, with Iraq? What would Jesus do? You know, this is the question that many Christians ask. It was a big popular slogan, wasn't it, Mark, a few years ago, to ask yourself, what would Jesus do? Well, here's what Hagee says. Let's go take the nuclear bombs we've got and blow Iran apart and kill all the people. Let's massacre all of the Arabs and the Persians, all of the Muslims. It's war, he says, and we've got to get rid of them to help Israel. God wants us to kill. Now, this is what he wants to do. Use nuclear bombs to kill the Arabs over there. And I have to ask Christians everywhere, do you believe this too? Do you believe that's what Jesus wants us to do, is to take stealth bombers and missiles and totally wipe Arabs off the face of the earth to send them to hell? I think this is devil speaking.
I think it is too, Tex. And, you know, I think it's absolute trash biblically. It's absolute trash politically and culturally. And, you know, just to share something that I have shared with my listeners before, I lived in Iran years ago in the 1970s. Mm. My parents were stationed there. My father was the Shah of Iran's logistical director for his Imperial Iranian Air Force in those days.
My goodness. So
when I would be on leave from college at Valparaiso University, both for the summer times as well as for Christmas seasons, throughout the mid to late 1970s, I would go over to Iran to see my parents, and I developed a great affinity for these people and for their culture. And to listen to John Hagee talking this way, in this context, as though he is speaking the word of God, is to me a part of a great and horrible satanic deception. And I'm glad that Tex Mars is out there to alert the public as to what's going on. We'll be back with Tex in his conversation with us about the synagogue of Satan. Stay tuned.
Have you heard of a privacy crisis? Odds are you're already immersed in one. The U.S. government is now legally tapping phones, monitoring emails, tracking purchases, and seizing property in record numbers. Banks are demanding invasive personal information for even the smallest transaction. Unfortunately, stalkers looking to harm you or your financial situation are using the same methods. So how can you protect yourself, your loved ones, and all that you own? Well, the first step is to purchase the most important how-to book you'll ever read. It's called Privacy Crisis by author Grant Hall. In minutes, you'll know the methods he himself has used and advised others about in order to bank anonymously, open a safety deposit box without a social security number. With Privacy Crisis, you'll discover how to avoid judgments, seal your credit files airtight, drop off the radar, and virtually disappear from those looking to cause you injury. The ebook and hardcover versions are available at www.privacycrisis.com. Grant Hall's Privacy Crisis contains information and legal methods the powers that be don't want you to know. Travel, bank, work, and live anonymously, live free. You can also order Privacy Crisis by telephone. Call 702-433-6222.
We've all considered solar power at one time or another, and self-sufficiency will be your key to a better future. Ken Solar can help you get off the grid and become self-sufficient with solar power, and for a lot less than you would think. One of Ken's most popular items right now is the new solar power generator, for a lot less than you'd expect. This portable system can chop off nearly a third of your electric bill, a good start for any families out there wanting to get solar power for your home. Visit Ken's website at kensolar.com for free downloads, free videos, and how-tos, and of course, the new solar power generator. Use the coupon code RBN with your purchase and save an additional 10% off your order. Get a solar power generator now from kensolar.com at 239-677-3073. Again, that's 239-677-3073 or on the web at kensolar.com. Ken Solar, the home of all your solar needs.
Catholic priest calls for Christians to resist unjust war. It is an established historical fact that the Vatican has publicly stated that the Iraqi war is an unjust war. However, it miserably failed to tell its Catholic soldiers that it is a mortal sin to attack Iraq. The Protestant ministers in unison should take the logical step of telling their soldiers that it is a serious offense against God to participate in this unjust war. However, if enough Protestant ministers do not take this logical step, then the lay Catholics and Protestants have a serious obligation to demand of their clergy to take this logical step publicly.
Personally, I am doing all that I can to stop the continuation of the murder, carnage, and suffering that is being committed against the innocent people of Iraq in this terrible, unjust war. For additional facts regarding this grave matter, order the lecture by Father John Martinez entitled WW3 Can Still Be Prevented. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on our web banner for more information and ordering.
Dan Cost America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Tex Mars has been with us in the last hour discussing Andrew Carrington Hitchcock's new book, The Synagogue of Satan, The Secret History of Jewish World Domination. That is a publication of Rivercrest Publishing in Austin, Texas. And that same publishing house, by the way, has given us a number of Texas books, including his latest effort, Codex Magica, Secret Signs, Mysterious Symbols, and Hidden Codes of the Illuminati. And I want to get Tex back on this show at some point to discuss that book and to discuss how the Illuminati relates to all of this, because as I was reading last night in the Synagogue of Satan, it is the Talmud, the Babylonian Talmud, and the texts of the Kabbalah, which in turn are the basis for the development of the Illuminati. And quoting page 32 of the Hitchcock book, Meyer Amschel Rothschild in 1770 draws up the plans for the creation of the Illuminati and entrusts an Ashkenazi Jew, Adam Weishaupt, a crypto-Jew who is outwardly Roman Catholic, with its organization and development. The Illuminati is to be based upon the teachings of the Talmud, which is in turn the teachings of rabbinical Jews. It is to be called the Illuminati, which is a Luciferian term, which means keepers of the light. And then, of course, we come over to the next page, that in 1776, Adam Weishaupt officially completes his organization of the Illuminati on May 1st of this year. The purpose of the Illuminati is to divide the non-Jews through political, economic, social, and religious means. And then going down a little bit on the page, Adam Weishaupt soon infiltrates the Continental Order of Freemasons with this Illuminati doctrine, all under the orders and finance of Meyer Amschel Rothschild. Tex, it seems that we start talking about the Talmud and the Kabbalah, start talking about the Illuminati and Freemasonry, that brings us full circle to some of the areas where you are an acknowledged expert. I'd like, if you don't have the time to do it today, to get you back on at a future juncture to discuss this, because I think all of this is intimately involved this great deception that you have been warning us about today. Wouldn't you agree?
Mark, it really is. And I'll be glad to come back on again, because when we look at all the secret societies and the Council on Foreign Relations and these globalist international groups, they all tie in with the Synagogue of Satan. And then you have the Freemasonry and its doctrines going all the way back to Pike and before. Again, everything ties in with the Synagogue of Satan. And it makes you then finally, just, you know, sometimes I just sit back and I say, Lord Jesus, you told us everything we need to know in the book of Revelation, and I've studied for 20 years the conspiracy, and it comes back to the book of Revelation.
Yes. Tex, send me an email when you get a chance, and we'll get you rescheduled for another appearance on this show. Wanted to thank you for coming on to discuss Andrew Carrington Hitchcock's new book, The Synagogue of Satan, The Secret History of Jewish World Domination, which is a Rivercrest publishing effort out of Austin. We thank God that he has given us people like Tex Mars to stand in the gap in these dark times of human history. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Mark Gantos, America, will be back tomorrow, being with you at 7 a.m. The Republic Podcast Network in San Antonio, Texas. God bless.